Boston Public Radio. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. Well, tomorrow is Halloween, and Halloween means witches. And I, for one, cannot even think of the word witch without thinking of this.
We have found the witch. May we burn, huh?
Burn her!
How do you know she is a witch?
She looks like one.
Bring her forward. What makes you think she's a witch?
Well, she turned me into a newt.
A newt?
I got better.
Burn!
That, of course, is a scene from the cult classic Monty Python and the Search for Holy Grail. And while that takes place in England, it's just a few miles up the road from here that the most famous instance of witch hysteria took place in the late 17th century. And while the Salem witch trials are New England's most famous, they were not the only, and by no means were they the first. So joining me now with a tale of an earlier witch trial that you might not have heard is Walt Woodward. He is an associate professor of history at the University of Connecticut and I think this is really cool, the official Connecticut state historian. Walt, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me on. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, we're doing pretty well. Someone bewitched the weather for the second year in a row, but we're muddling through.
So not a lot of damage or anything where you are? Everything's good?
It's okay. A lot of people without power, a lot of limbs down, and some flooded basements. But mostly we're okay compared to the people on the shore.
All right. Well, glad to hear that you are all right. So, Walt, why don't you take us back a few hundred years here to this story of a witch trial that happened some 35-odd years before the Salem witch trials.
Yeah, this is a case that took place in East, what we now call East Hampton, New York. At the time, it was claimed by Connecticut and by the Dutch who were running New Amsterdam. So it was a city that had kind of a political state of unrest in it. It wasn't exactly sure who it belonged to. A lot of general agitation in the town. And as in many New England towns, suspicion over time came to rest on a certain person when things began to go wrong. And in this town, in 1658, Elizabeth Howell, she was the daughter of Lyon Gardner, who was one of the leading founders of the town, a founder of Saybrook, Connecticut. She had married another son of a leading resident, Arthur Howell, the year before. She was 16 years old, so there may have been some urgency in the wedding.
Hmm.
But you know, whatever was going on there, she had a child. And shortly after that, in February of 1658, she woke up and she told a neighbor who came to visit that she thought she was getting a cold. But by the end of the day, she had a terrible headache. And by that night, she was convinced that she was being afflicted by a woman named Elizabeth Garlick. And what she said to the people around her as she kind of writhed in agony on the bed is, "Oh, Goody Garlick, I've said a few bad words about you, and now you've come to torment me."
Hmm.
And that began a very difficult period.
So Goody Garlick is Elizabeth Garlick in this story.
Correct. And I often forget that a lot of people don't understand the use of Goody. I'm a colonial historian, and we're used to it. Goody was a shorthand expression, shorthand way of saying good wife. And it was generally applied to people in colonial New England who were the wives of, say, working class or we might think of them as middle class families.
Okay.
So Goody Garlick is was a wife of a working class family who was suspected by many people in her community of practicing witchcraft.
So was she sort of a suspect of witchcraft before this accusation from a prominent a dying or a sick prominent citizen, or was that the start of it, and then other people piled on and started saying, yes, actually, Goody Garlick cursed me as well.
No, as in so many of the witchcraft cases, witches just don't show up in town. They are neighbors. They are people that you've lived with for years. And over time, they have been associated with things that are unusual occurrences that people come to attribute to their involvement. So Elizabeth Howell's death, she ultimately died after maintaining adamantly that Goody Garlic had appeared as a witch by the foot of her bed and was tormenting her, and there was a black thing on the other side of the bed. But
wow.
She didn't invent that whole cloth. It had kind of surfaced out of the rumor mill that had floated around this town for many years.
I see. So Goody Garlic, the accused, was she somehow different that the sort of suspicion had rested on her? Obviously, you were just saying before, as somebody who was a good wife or being called Goody, she was not as prominent of a citizen. Was she somehow different than the rest of them?
Well, much of our kind of evaluations of that, we have to make from inference, because there aren't usually character descriptions of people. But what we know from the body of evidence associated with New England witchcraft trials is that there are some, you know, traits commonly associated with witchcraft suspects. For instance, women over the age of 40 were singled out for witchcraft accusations compared to men by a ratio of 4 to 1.
Hmm.
So they tended to be older women. They often were people who were known to be cantankerous, somewhat aggressive in speech and in behavior. They, a professor named Carol Carlson at Michigan argued some years ago that many of the witches, or many of suspected witches, were actually women who were on the verge of inheriting sufficient resources to operate independently without the supervision of a man. So there are a lot of factors in these cases, and one of them, in some cases, you clearly see, is that there are some people who don't mind having other people think that they've got some real power they could use if they wanted to.
Very interesting. I'm talking with Walt Woodward. He's the Associate Professor of History at the University of Connecticut and the Connecticut State Historian. And he's taking us through the story of Goody Garlic, who was accused of being a witch 35-some-odd years before the Salem witch trials. And this happened in what's now the Hamptons on Long Island in New York, but that time was a part of Connecticut. So Goody goes to trial then, I assume, here after this accusation. And what happened?
Well, Elizabeth Howell died. And the town did what they would do in any capital case where there's been a mysterious death. The leaders of the town went around gathering evidence. And a sufficient body of evidence welled up out of community testimony that suggested people said, well, you know, she had been associated with the death of the sudden death of a man some years before. And someone's baby had died in association with contact with garlic, and she had had an argument with a resident of the town who had some cattle, and the next day the cows died. And all of these things suggested that she may have been able to use magical powers to inflict all these harms. So the leaders of East Hampton essentially said, we can't really clear this up, and they sent Elizabeth Garlic to Hartford for trial by the magistrates in Connecticut.
So a higher court, they kicked it up the chain.
Correct.
And what happened there?
Well, this was really interesting. Elizabeth Garlic had every reason to think on that journey to Hartford that things would be terribly bad for her.
Yeah.
Connecticut, surprisingly, had the harshest record in witchcraft prosecution of any of the New England colonies up to this point. Connecticut executed the first witch we know about in New England in 1647, and each of the seven suspects brought to trial before Elizabeth Garlic had been found guilty and had been executed.
So the odds are not in her favor as she's traveling
to Hartford. The odds were definitely not in her favor. Had she been in Massachusetts, she would have had a 50-50 chance of being acquitted. But the groundwork in Connecticut had changed significantly the year before her trial, because a man named John Winthrop Jr. had been elected governor of Connecticut.
Now, is this John Winthrop Jr., is that the son of the John Winthrop of repute from up in this area?
He absolutely is. He's the son and namesake of Connecticut's governor. He was very much like him and very different in some critical ways. Winthrop, like his father, was a committed Puritan. He shared the belief that the New World could be a model godly society. But whereas his father thought that the essential ingredient was to build a community of godly saints, Winthrop added an element to that. He set out to use early modern science as a way to both improve living conditions in Connecticut and to prepare a godly society that was ready for the return of Christ. He was an alchemist, which we often don't associate with Puritans. And I think many of us only think of alchemy as kind of a foolish effort to turn lead into gold.
Right.
But in fact, it was an early form of chemistry that blended religion, science, and magic all together. And that's one of the key differences between Winthrop's world and our world. We have very sharp firewalls between the concept of religion, science, and magic. In Winthrop's world, they were blended together. So the idea that a scientist could also be a magic expert and still be religious was completely acceptable to Puritans. And when Winthrop got involved in witchcraft cases, he was not only the governor, he was a leading expert on magic, and because of his alchemical knowledge, the leading physician in colonial New England. So he had great authority in witchcraft cases when he became governor. Under Connecticut's governmental structure in 1647, the governor and the magistrates not only served as the presiding judges in witchcraft trials, but they effectively were the prosecution as well. So they not only managed the case, they conducted the trial against Garlick. So
we're running out of time here. What happened at the trial?
Winthrop did something that he always did in witchcraft cases. He found Elizabeth Garlick not exactly guilty, but suspicious. And he found the community wise to be concerned about witchcraft, but not he didn't empower them to exact justice on the witch. So what he essentially did was said, we have a case of social pathology in this community, and what we need to do is get people to just back off from each other and learn how to live together in harmony. And that essentially was what he did in this case.
And it sounds like good advice even today, even if his world was very different than our world. That's good advice and good neighborly advice here on this Halloween Eve. So I just want to say thanks to our guest. You were just listening to Walt Woodward, the Associate Professor of History at the University of Connecticut, Connecticut State Historian, with the little-known tale of Goody Garlick, an early witch who was the first witch in Connecticut history to be exonerated of being a witch, although not completely. So there you have it, and that's going to do it for us on Boston Public Radio today. Tomorrow we'll continue our 30 Issues in 30 Days election coverage with a look at re-regulating the banks and whether the big food trend of the 21st century will be a movement back well before witch times to the raw food of our cavemen ancestors. I'm Edgar B. Herwick III. Our show is a production of WGBH Radio. I hope you have a great afternoon.